This is Ken Kennedy, and this is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, episode 53, recorded Friday, August 23rd, 2013. Well, so now today I'm going to discuss the thing that I thought I was going to discuss yesterday, which was I was reminded by a buddy of mine at work a couple days ago, or yesterday, actually, about a book I need to catch up on in addition to all the other books that I'm reading. You know, I was like, dude, I'm right in the middle of 1,000 pages of second book, The Name of the Wind. And the kind of amusing thing is he's reminding me about a close to 1,000-page work, which is that I decided I'd talk about a little bit because not everyone may know about it, and it's pretty awesome. It's actually Harry Potter fan fiction. It's called Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality. And it's not currently completed, and it gets updated chapter by chapter every so often. And it's mind-blowingly cool. But to kind of wrap your head around how cool it is, well, it just helped, the background helps on the author. The author is a guy named Eliezer Yudkowsky. And I've been telling people to read his stuff for years, way back before the Harry Potter book or fan fiction. And I usually joke by explaining that he's the smartest guy in the world. And probably not the smartest guy in the world, but he's in that list of people. He is an artificial intelligence researcher. Too long. Didn't read version. He's worked in that field for a while. He used to actually live in Atlanta, and he started the Singularity Institute. He, along with lots of other people, believe that once we get like recursively improving artificial intelligence, that technological singularity will probably occur soon thereafter. So he used to live in Atlanta. He started this thing called the Singularity Institute, and he actually used to speak at DragonCon. I saw him. Two or three years, I saw him speak. They moved out to California, I think around 2004. Since changed the name of the institute because of something else, Singularity University, that's it, was too similar. So now it's the Machine Intelligence Research Institute. And it literally does work on artificial intelligence. And specifically, he works on, I can't get all this right, but what he calls friendly artificial intelligence. And because, again, I mean, there's a lot of consensus in those group of people that do believe in that, which I'm probably in, that the creation of artificial intelligence is going to be a potentially existential threat to the human race. Once you've got something that's heading into the technological singularity realm, I mean, it could be actively, hostile to humanity, or it could just be so indifferent and not realize that we're here like little bugs, and wipe us out without even, while it's dismantling the earth or the moon or the sun for resources, and not even really think about it. So he is, his work is on laying out the kind of formal principles of what he calls friendliness, literally, to a sufficient extent that they can develop. I don't think that they can actually develop a friendly AI. They think they're going to have to develop another AI that is not potentially recursive and feed it that information and have it build it. Yeah. You can look all this up. It's on Wikipedia and their website. And I'll have lots of links. If I read about it for too long, it makes my head hurt. But that's the thing, is they're like, we may only have one shot at this, so it'd be best if the first AI is friendly. He actually at one point in time had a domain-specific language, a DSL, that was Python-based, 90% that it was Python, sure it was Python-based, in the early 2000s, had that up on SourceForge. I remember playing around with it for a little bit, and it disappeared after a while. And I believe it was the last year that he was at DragCon. I asked him about it when I went up to talk to him. And he had taken it down because he actually thought he was starting to move into this thinking about the notion of friendliness and stuff, and the realization that we might only have one shot at this. And he was like, I don't want to give those tools out, which is, yeah. I mean, you know, mind-blowingly egotistical, but the dude, if anybody's smart enough to be able to say that sort of stuff, he was probably in that group. And among others, that's his job, but on kind of on the side, he has written an exceptionally intuitive, and this is a lot of times probably one of the first places that I reference him to people. If you know any math back in the day, I know I studied it and then forgot about it, but you might hear about Bayesian probability and Bayes' theorem. It's used for all sorts of things, spam filtering, conditional probability type stuff. And Bayes' theorem is a little hard to wrap your head around at times, and he has a great explanation. He calls it the intuitive explanation of Bayes' theorem, and then I'll be linking the show notes to that. It's a long essay that he wrote on Bayes' theorem that is very helpful when you're thinking about it. He's written a bunch of other papers on various topics. He helped found the Overcoming Bias blog, which was essays on various meta ethics and bias techniques and techniques on overcoming bias, things like that, that I would read and then have my mind blown and have to not read their site for a month or so. Eventually left there and founded another blog called Less Wrong and wrote a bunch of pieces on there, again, about the same sorts of stuff. Methods of rationality. So we're starting to see where this is coming back around. Methods of overcoming bias, things like that. And in some of those, and he literally had a grand, like 2 year long, dozens of essays that were this big arc, you know, that actually had a completion and stuff. In doing that, occasionally when he was trying to make a point, he would write fiction. And usually his fiction was impressively, even at the time, before Harry Potter, realized this stuff is really quite good, you know, for someone who is not a fiction author. That he's literally just creating this to make a point. And thought about that several times, but never got too far into it. And then somehow bumped into a link to this fan fiction, which he had started. I got into it not too late. It was fairly early on, I think. And it is Harry Potter fan fiction that is, from what I understand, at least tacitly okay, as long as he didn't do anything commercial with it, by Rowling's people. It's called Harry Potter and the Methods of Rationality. And it's the Harry Potter first, in particular, maybe the first book, although after a while it starts to wind off on its own story. But with Harry Potter imagined as a young rationalist, a young scientist, when he finds out that he's supposed to go to Hogwarts. And in the very first chapter, this is not particularly a spoiler, he plans to disprove magic and then finds that he can't because it actually works right in front of his face, even though he can't conceive of how it does. He's a scientist and he goes to Hogwarts basically to determine how magic works and how these people are doing things that seem to defy the laws of physics. And this, you learn real science in it. You learn a lot of like bias techniques and things. That stuff is constantly being slipped in there. And yet at the same time, it is an absolutely amazing story. It's funny and very funny in many places, especially, there's kind of, science jokes and things like that. But the characters are very well developed. The relationships are well developed. The twists and turns in the plot that, like I said, it begins at the beginning of Harry Potter book one and kind of before too long, kind of takes off on its own and is not finished yet. But the story is good. It's mind-boggling. I mean, he's writing it, to teach things, to teach the methods of rationality to the reader as well as to people in the story. But to think that somebody is that good at the science and has the ability to write this good of a fictional work is mind-boggling. To me, if you are a fan of Harry Potter or a fan of that sort of science writing, it is without question a must read. And it's huge. Like I said, I think it's close to 1,000 pages already, and it's not done. It's available for free on the web in a couple different places. I'll make those links in the show notes. And I highly encourage you to read it. I just wanted to get that out there in case people hadn't seen it. So that's going to be it for today. And this has been Kenzoid.com or Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone at Kenzoid.com. My email address is kkennedy@kenzoid.com. My Twitter handle is Kenzoid. My Google Plus link will be in the show notes. This podcast is Creative Commons licensed attribution share alike version 3.0. And we will be back. I'm trying to get this out early today because we've got some people coming over for dinner tonight. But I'll be back tomorrow with another podcast. Oh, and we're part of the Dog Days of Podcasting, which is at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. In fact, I guess we only have it's Friday. I think we have only a week left. The last episode should be next Friday at DragonCon. Woohoo, baby. So we're in the DragonCon countdown at this point. So thanks a lot, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.